mission is to bridge the gap between academic climate science and applied policy regarding the impacts of climate change. So we were created in 2005 through an endowment in the province of BC. So our stakeholders, our stakeholders use our climate projections to answer a wide array of pertinent questions and make policy and engineering decisions for expensive infrastructure based on the results of our impacts policy. So examples include whether future river flows can support hydropower, whether future storm intensity will necessitate larger culverts, storm drains, or bridges, to what degree sea level rise might inundate our homes and farmland, how loss of glacier mass might affect our streams and rivers, both alpine and tidal glaciers, or whether forests might become more susceptible to fire or outbreaks of disease. So to do so, we use global climate models, or GCMs, and sometimes regional climate models to assess the effects of the climate on the natural built environment. The challenge, though, is that GCMs come at very coarse resolution. So sometimes a single grid box will be can span 100 kilometers or more. So in British Columbia, we have very high topographic relief. So 100 kilometers can and does contain everything from sandy beaches to alpine meadows, mountains, valleys, tidal flats, glaciers. So just having one single climate value for such a wide range of area isn't that useful to natural resource professionals trying to make decisions on the ground. So we have a department at PCIC that is responsible for doing what's called downscaling, the coarse scale GCM information, to a finer scale that's more applicable to the local level. I'm not on that team personally, so I can't provide intimate details about that process, but it essentially involves drawing statistical relationships between the global climate models and gridded observations during a period of record, and then extrapolating those relationships to the modeled period. So the method that our climate statisticians have come up with is kind of a combination of many existing methods trying to combine the advantages of each. So the name's a bit of a mouthful: bias, corrected, constructed analogs with quantile mapping. We'll abbreviate it as BCCAQ. I'll give a brief synopsis, but again, I'm on the computational team. So for a more rigorous explanation of the methodology, I'll refer you to the literature. So the two main inputs are kind of two spatiotemporal data cubes in the top left there. The GCM is spatially coarse, but it has a long time record, typically daily resolution over 150 years. While the gridded observations have a much finer spatial scale, usually 10 kilometers, but they're limited to the period of record. So they both feed into bias-corrected climate imprint and bias-corrected constructed analogs. BCCI feeds into, I don't know the acronym for QBQM, but essentially it maps the quantiles from the climate imprint to the observation. BCCA is the most computationally intensive step, and I'll discuss that in a minute. And then finally at the end, the climate analogs are used to drive a reordering step to create the final downscaled output. So when we perform the downscaling, we're downscaling some number of emission scenarios for all the GCMs that we have and all the RCMs that we have, times all the variables that we have. So all those are kind of independent, so we can parallelize that by jog. But the time and space at the bottom are typically required at mostly the same time throughout the computation, at least for some of the downscaling methods. So time and space turn this into a bit of a big data problem. And that figure didn't show up in the printed slides, but I'll try and explain BCCA for you. So bias-corrected constructed analogs is the most computationally intensive parts of the pipeline. So the goal of BCCA is to find computational complexity of that is, as a function of the input size, is the number of observed time steps times the number of GCM time steps times C, which isn't a constant, that's the number of cells in the GCM. So the input size is in the trillions for a single model. So the original prototype code that our climate scientists wrote took between 30 to 70 hours, 72 hours to run, just a single model. So that was pretty untenable for us. If there was any delay, our jobs would get kicked out of the queuing system, which has a wall time limit of 3 days. So we needed to do a better job and finish faster. So we took the original prototype code, did some refactoring on it. We started out with 3,000 lines of code, cut it down to 1,400. We essentially cut the amount of code in half. We started out with a whole bunch of 500 lines of manual config code that had to be hand-edited every time you wanted to run different models. So we cut that down, it's about a tenth. Now it's super easy, and I'll kind of show the APIs. So we took all that and kind of wrapped it up into a nice R package. It's not on CRAN yet, but it's you can get it from our GitHub. In DevTools, install it. If you point to either the release branch or one of the 0.x releases that we have, you can install it. Thanks to the authors and maintainers of R for Travis CI, it made it really easy for us to kind of get a test suite running. Ships with kind of a micro data set of grid adobs and a very small GCM, so we're able to actually run it end to end and in the test, which is pretty nice. It does import a number of dependencies, UDUnits 2 and NCDF4, kind of the pretty standard scientific software. They can be a bit of a pain to get running on non Linux systems, so buyer beware of that. User interface is super simple. We only export 5 functions, one for each of the downscaling steps. So it's basically just a wrapper that you can throw at it the name of your GCM file, the observation data set, name the output file and variable name, and it'll go off and do it. So that's much, much better than the prototype code that we started out with, which had the 500 lines of configuration code. So it's pretty easy for or scientists to use it. There's a lot inside the package that can be parallelized. We use the for each package for that. And we kind of leave it up to the user to configure the backend on their own. So if we're just running on our laptops, we can do 2 lines and import do parallel and register it with however many cores we have. Or if we're scaling up to the data center, we can load do MPI. Basically adjusts. And then inside the package, it parallelizes any loops that it can. That's pretty handy. So, have we achieved high performance downscaling? It still takes like 8 hours to run BCCA, and a few days through the full pipeline, so it's, it could be better. But we've done okay. So we got a 5x speed up of a QPQM step. A certain step in BCCA, we got a 14,000x speed up in Armor Factory. So we've made pretty good improvements over the code that we started out with. So, next steps, I still want to focus on the performance a little bit. Anytime I do a profile lift, I just see tons and tons of vector allocations. Lots of memory allocations and deallocations. It's kind of what takes up most of the time. So I'd like to kind of drop down a level and focus on that. I still think, I'm convinced big, downscaling across time and space,